40 years ago in June 1975, coming from the old Waterboard building on Dovecot Street in Stockton, was commercial radio on Teesside for the very first time. The first boss of that place was a guy called Bob Hopton. Bob, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you know...
It feels it.
You can argue, you know, well, this is the BBC. Why do you want to talk about commercial radio? It was a competitor. But actually, I suppose I'm slightly biased. It's something that should be recognised because it was history. It was something that was completely new to the area as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it, actually, it's the commercial arm of radio made a lot of changes that impinged upon the BBC, the sort of radio and broadcasting generally that you have now was the result of the people that did the work 40 years ago. It's nice that he's remembered.
How'd you get the job?
I answered a newspaper ad. I had worked for the BBC for 10 years, and I left the BBC to get involved in a music thing that fell to bits, just at the point where I decided to write a document for me on what I thought local radio station ought to be. As that happened, I got a copy of this ad and thought, oh, I'll have a go, like, you know, sitting there in Birmingham. And I arrived here. I phoned up the newspaper and said, can you send me the copies of the paper? And did me a research and came to the interview. And a few weeks later, the chairman said, you know more about Teesside than we do. And I thought, well, that can't work.
But it was something that was completely new to this area. Now, I mean, I think we take all forms of media, you know, pretty much for granted. But this was a big news event that there was another radio station. I mean, had they found the premises by the time you'd arrived here, or was it a case that there was three of you in an office or a room just trying to figure out how you're going to do this?
Well, no, they were fairly well advanced. The board of directors had gone quite a long way in acquiring a business, having all the details of studios and layouts and all that sort of thing. So the first appointment after the managing director, John Bradford, was a guy called...
See, it's a long time ago. It's 40 years. Engineer.
It is, yes. Chaz.
Chaz Kennedy.
Chaz Kennedy. And they were starting to put it all in. Cables, mixers, tape recorders, all that sort of thing, doing all the acoustic tests. And in those days, acoustic tests were really quite significant and set very high because the BBC had set that many years beforehand. And, of course, a lot of technology has changed in the 40 years since. But we were just about ready. I sat on a chair that had Joyce on a chair that had a floor that had joists but no planks. Because you looked down to the floor below.
Because people will remember the building on Dovecot Street. It was the old Waterboard building, and then it was a couple of houses, wasn't it, towards the back, and
yes,
they were all joined together. My grandma used to go pay a water bill in that building. So it was transformed into a state-of-the-art studio complex.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was a mega achievement, in fact, to gut the inside of the building and put in studios and all the rest of it. And we were there appointing people, coming up with plans and so on and so forth, with big dryers trying to dry the concrete in time to go on air.
Because Radio Tees was the 12th. Commercial station.
The 12th.
You didn't want to be the 13th.
Absolutely.
So you did it and you became the 12th station. And hiring the people. There's quite a lot of people hired from this part of the world. But on the air, the presenters were from all over the place.
All over. I'd worked at Pebble Mill in my BBC days and had a lot of contact with what was then BBC Radio Birmingham. And the breakfast DJ was one Leslie Ross. And I thought, I'm having him. And I brought him up and showed him around and talked to what we were planning and all the rest of it and the sort of contribution he could make. And after that, he went away to think. And a number of people said to me, you can't put him on there. He's a Brummie, which he is like, you know, and he sort of talked like that. I said, no, you know, you he will work. And indeed he did. I mean, he was only on Teesside for a little over a year before BRNB Radio in Birmingham pinched him back.
But people still remember Les.
Yes.
Round here.
Yeah. He's just absolutely amazing comic, knowledge of music, all that sort of thing. He's a very special guy.
So you got the team together, you launched the station. I mean, before the station launched, did you know you were onto a good thing?
No.
Did you have a feeling that it was going to be...
Only slightly. I mean, speaking personally, my arrogance suggested to me that this was going to work. But the managing director, John Bradford, encouraged a very relaxed sort of atmosphere. And the morning we went on air, Les was in the studio doing his thing. We all went off into another studio and had apples and champagne.
At 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, nothing's changed in radio. We still do that today.
We set a lot of standards. There's not a doubt about that.
Have a listen to this.
And a very good morning to you. It's Midsummer Day, Tuesday, the 24th of June, 1975. And this is Leslie Ross welcoming you to the start of our very first day of transmissions here on Radio T's 257 metres. Thanks for making the effort. I'm glad I did. I'll be with you in 5 minutes' time to start our very first breakfast show. Hope you'll risk staying that long anyway. Feeling fine. What a job. Sunshine. Well, we're trying our best anyway. This is it. This is what you waited up all night for. Back to bed, everybody. A brand new breakfast show on a brand new radio station. And then there's me. Oh, well. Something appropriate to start with. I've racked my wardrobe for this one.
That's Les, 40 years ago, opening up the station. Let's come back with Bob in just a moment. How are we doing on the roads first?
Still got two lanes closed on the A1M northbound at the moment following the accident.
Bob Hopton is our guest this afternoon. He was the first programme manager of Radio T's, which is celebrating 40 years. It's 40 years, June 1975, since it came on air.
Bob Hopton sounds superb on Radio T's, 257 medium wave and 95 VHF in stereo.
Way back when in the day.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously I'm slightly biased because that's where I started listening. That was where I did my very first programme in Dovecot Street as well. And it's always been a special place to me. The lineup, Les Ross, another name people will remember, David Hall.
Absolutely. David, another one-off character. Always coming on air and talking about the fact he was as weak as a lettuce leaf and all this sort of thing. I haven't come across David for quite a long time now. And, of course, he's now a man of the cloth.
That's right, isn't it, David? You are a man of the cloth, aren't you?
I've got stamp collector's tongue, tired blood, flat feet, hang nose, rip throws and throats, and you think you're sick.
David Hall is joining us live from Gibraltar this afternoon.
Say hello
to Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, David.
Bless you, my son. I want to know, have you still got any hair on your head?
Very little.
Oh, it's just that, you know, I was always scared of stamping on your foot because you had such beautifully coiffed quip. And I was scared that if I trod on your foot, it would open up like a pedal bin.
Ah, it's progressively disappeared.
Oh, well.
I'm sitting here looking at your album, Love Games David.
Oh, yes, that was in 1983. I recorded that with most of Cliff Richard's backing group.
I presume you didn't pursue the singing...
I don't think I was pursued at all.
David, I mean, what do you remember about those days 40 years ago?
Idyllic, in a word. I was so touched, pleased and thrilled that Bob took the bull by the horns and decided that a Gibraltarian was not a bad guy to employ. And thanks to his generosity, the generosity of John Bradford and his wife Kate, who put our darling Valerie, my wife, and our two children up at Craythorne Hall while our house was being prepared. Just days of mischief and joy. I can't tell you how much we loved working with each other, and the really deep way in which Bob took the seriousness of his position as manager. In having us in at the office to rigorously look at our playlists, to ensure that there was no shilly-shallying, and to keep the utmost standards of broadcasting to the forefront without losing the fun, the laughter, and the... I can only say it was more than just camaraderie. It was real brotherhood, sisterhood type stuff, you know, with Wincy and Denise, and I mean, just amazing. And I've managed to keep in touch with people like that wonderful lass, the only woman in the world to eat a tomato through a tennis racket, and that was Libby Forbert, whom I've seen on occasion.
David, you can't say things like that anymore. What did you make of the area when you first came up to it 40 years ago then?
Loved it, because I was told they had so many listeners. The only thing is, but I wasn't told it was sheep. But it was wonderful. Every single moment was joy. And those North Yorkshire moors, I'll never forget those as long as I live. And the friendliness of those in Stockton, you know, everyone from the mayor, the leader of the council, through to our brothers and sisters in the streets, the fishmonger, you name it, and it worked as a wonderful community, and that's what Radio Tees 257 was all about, was real deep community.
And the name, I mean, you stopped for about 5 years, didn't you? Well, a pair of you stopped for about 5 years, but the names that came through the doors and then went subsequently on into further careers, people like Jeff Stelling, you mentioned Wincy Willis there as well. Yeah. Mark Mardell, of course, who's the World at One on Radio 4 and was the BBC's North American correspondent for a number of years. Alistair Pirrie, the big P on the big T.
Yes, yes. And I even remember the first artist whom I ever interviewed, and that was Joan Armour Trading, which was a thrill, and stories of told by Twiggy when she came up. We really were, even though people say the Northeast, we were the centre, we were the pivotal point of what was going on in the Northeast, and of course a very friendly rivalry with BBC Radio Cleveland. We regularly held dues together, so it was a truly wonderful launch pad for all those whom you've said have moved on to different things.
And you went back to Gibraltar, and you've had a fantastic career working on the radio and TV in Gibraltar, and now, as Bob said, you're a man of the cloth.
Well, I never really stopped being a man of the cloth, because I actually left a monastery to get married. That's how I met my wife. She brought some special needs children to see the chapel at Kelham in Newark in Nottinghamshire, and I'd actually was studying theology at the time. I never stopped studying theology. Even whilst I was at Radio Tees, I would regularly go up to Durham University to go to lectures and to take exams, very close to the Bishop of Whitby. And now I'm blessed to be the legate for the Anglican Bishop of Spain, Carlos López Lozano, So I'm able to wear a nice black frock with nice pink trimmings on it. Oh, I love it. I love it. And it's as weak as a robin, not as a leopard.
And just very quickly, because we'll let you go and listen to the rest of the hour, and thank you very much for joining us. What was he like as a boss?
Bob?
Yeah.
He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't modest. He was fair to a fault. And a really good pal. And I don't think that anyone would care to have anything other than that on an obituary, which I hope doesn't come for a long, long time.
So do I.
David, good to talk to you. Morning call, Gibraltar. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Bless you, my child.
24 minutes past two. You didn't expect that, did you?
I didn't expect that at all.
There you go.
But it's there. You can hear it. And it was people like that. And all that list of talent, not conscious. You employed someone to do a job.
Hmm.
And maybe it was a step on a ladder. And that makes you very pleased. But they were first, they were there to do a job.
Have a listen to this.
And a little later on, once I give you the number you can ring on to talk to me on Tees 257, if you'd care to talk to me, David Hoare, then that's up to you. I'm not proud, I'll talk to anyone. You'll be hearing on the telephone BRMB. We're going to be talking to BRMB, which is the Birmingham local independent radio station. And they've sent us a telegram too. All of us at BRMB Radio send you all our best and all best wishes on your opening today. All success for the future. Regards, David Pennell, BRMB Radio. Right, well, let's hope the lines are okay. As I'm sure they will be. The post office engineers have been working very hard. Told them I'd mention them today. The one smiling to me from across the room. Glasses all steamed up, he's working so hard. This is Ray Stevens and his new single, Misty. Look at me.
That's Demis Roussos. That was the choice of our guest today, Bob Hopton. Why did you pick that song, Bob?
Demis, sort of in the early days, sort of was running through my life. Because I was a music producer in the BBC, and the phone went one day, and they said, we've got this guy, and we need a recording, and he's not going to be in London. So Demis came to Pebble Mill, and at that time, I didn't know who he was. And so we went into the studio and did a brilliant session, and I still got the tapes, but tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody in the BBC and, that. No. Dear me.
And then very soon after, I came to the North East and Radio Tees.
With the tapes?
Yeah.
No,
never used them, but... got a phone call not long after we'd gone on air saying, Demis Roussos is coming that way. Would you like him to come into the station? Came into the station, and by this time, in a strange sort of way, we'd become quite good friends. And then he ended up, we spent a strange evening up in Newcastle where he was doing a gig. It just makes me think of Radio Tees every time I hear that music.
All right.
And of course, he's not with us any longer, sadly.
Absolutely. Bob Hopton is our guest this afternoon, as you've heard. He was the first boss, commercial radio, Teesside, 1975, quickly. Eagles, why? Take it to the limit.
It's an anthem, as far as I'm concerned. It's just that part of the lyrics, take it to the limit. And that's what we did. We pushed against walls, we changed conventions, all that sort of thing. And it sounds a bit grand, yeah. But it's true. We gnawed away at... We had the Independent Broadcasting Authority, and they laid down the rules of your behaviour as a radio station. But we pushed against it, and we had arguments and discussions and all the rest of it. And it's what has created... a lot of the radio you have in the UK. We started it, some of us, in Radio 1 and Radio 2, and then in local radio. And it made big differences to the way in which people listen to the radio and their involvement in it. Phone-ins. Phone-ins were virtually unheard of in the early days of Radio 1. And people had got to learn about techniques and use, not only the performers, but the listeners. And I did on Radio Tees. We were talking about it last evening, that I used to do a half-hour programme intended to be current affairs and local happenings and all the rest of it. And for a very long time, only one person ever phoned in. His name was John, and if John is listening, he must be very proud of himself.
And before you ask, it wasn't me, because I was only two at the time. The station pretty much became an institution in the area. Right, I mean, right from day one, it hit the ground running. And certainly when I was growing up, it was, if you were a kid, you listened to Radio Tees. If you were an adult, or if you were slightly older than that, you listened to Radio Cleveland. And it always seemed to have this buzz about it as a radio station. Could you sense that? Did you know that you were changing the way that people were behaving in this area?
And having an impact? Yes and no. Some of the time you did, or you thought about it. You probably thought, you know, being rather pompous about it. On the other hand, it was a form of belief. It was, this is what it can do. Radio Tees did the very, very, very first UK snow line. And we just said, we're going to do this. We are going to talk to people in the Dales and connect people who are snowed and all the rest of it. That every radio station in the UK now, when we do get some snow, does a snow line. But it started on Teesside. And that was this is what is possible. And it's the way you integrate with the community. And the community integrates with you, and it's wonderful, and it's difficult to describe in words. It's a doing task.
Some of the other names from those early days: Bill Hamilton, who went on to the BBC and Five Live, and is in Lewis Collins' film. He was on the show the other week. Some of Radio 4's best newsreaders: Libby Forbit, Kent Barker. People may remember those names. Presenters: Mark Page, of course, who's still at the Borough these days and still doing radio. Alistair Pirrie.
A one-off. A total one-off. Funny in the extreme. All off the cuff most of the time, or it appeared to be that. And he did very funny jokes with microphones and heads disappearing and all sorts of things. He was unique, and he went on to do bigger things. The telly. I've always had a strange relationship with television, because I'm not a great supporter of the media. I believe passionately in radio.
What are some of the other highlights that stand out for you then of your time here on Teesside? I mean, starting a radio station from scratch when really nobody really knew what they were doing. You made it up as you went along, be honest, but yeah. You and the rest of them. But some of the other standout moments where you thought, you know what, we're doing something here, we're changing things.
Part of it was the book I wrote. It's my book. I mean, I would never give it to anybody else. I've still got it, of what I believed a local radio station should be and how it should relate to its community and all that sort of thing. And I worked to that book, sort of, and it was my invention. That's a pompous thing to say.
You wrote the book.
and then when we were on the air, I started to create another book with the help of Leslie, my secretary, who I was with dinner last night. And she took all my writings and organized it and put it into what is in my book, The Yellow Book. And if you want to run a radio station, Herb wrote my Yellow Book. We'll tell you how to do it.
And other people, Tony Gillam, who arrived at the radio station. Nick Meanwell, there's another name.
Absolutely.
People will remember. And then subsequently people like John Simons and Paul Robinson and various, who've all gone on to have amazing careers.
And I mean, some of those were after my time.
Jeff Stelling.
Stelling was, wasn't. But Jeff was just wonderful. And it's been demonstrated by all these people who've gone into other bits of the media. And you think, ooh, why didn't they ask me?
How do you feel? I mean, okay, take a case in point, somebody like Jeff Stelling. There he is on the TV, holding court on a Saturday. Vastly experienced, incredibly admired in the business. Yet it was you who signed it off and said, yes, you can come and work here.
Yes, with the help of others. And one of the most significant would be Bill Hamilton, the news editor. Bill was fantastic. He knew a journalist. He could tread on something in the street and he'd know if it was a journalist. He'd say, right, you in. and it was fantastic. And he was a keen journalist himself. And that was infectious. And he had people, and he was disciplined. He'd done the time with the BBC and newspapers. I'm still in touch with Bill. He's written a book, by the way, and I must plug it. It's called Man on the Spot by Bill Hamilton. And you can get it through the usual channel.
Let's have another memory, shall we, from 1975. Who went to this venue?
Say now, I bet you dance pretty good, huh? I like a little live music along with the discs, and good food, and staying out late, 2 a.m. late enough. Well, why don't you and me get it together at Incognito? We'll have dinner first, something spicy.
Incognito, Stockton, Darlington, and Middlesbrough. See your local paper for details.
Meet you in the bar, Dave. And come incognito.
You've got a friend on 257. Radio T's here with you.
13 minutes to 3. Bob Hopton is our after two guest at BBC T's this afternoon. He was the first programme boss at Radio T's. It's 40 years old this month. We're having a little chat and a little reminisce about those days. Growing into the area and living amongst the community, everybody I ever speak to connected with radio in this part of the world, and even football as well. Although we get decried in the national media, it's always a case that once you've been up here, you never forget it. You never forget that you spend a part of your life in the Northeast, and actually, you loved it. You loved every single second of it.
Absolutely.
Why
Absolutely.
Did you leave then?
Someone wrote a large check. And actually, I went to my hometown, which is Birmingham, and BR&B was not performing terribly well.
So you took the Yellow Book?
Yep, I took the Yellow Book, and some, like Nick Meanwell, came with me. Les had already gone to Birmingham. And my job appointment was do it again, and I did it again and renewed the BRB contract and all that sort of thing, which was being looked at very carefully when I went. And that sounds very pompous, but it's the absolute truth. And I just did it again.
Can you remember your last day and how you felt after 5 years
leaving
working
here
in 1980?
I didn't have a leaving day, strangely enough, because the two chairmen of BR&B and Radio T said he can do the job both stations at the same time for nearly 6 months. So I was belting up and down the motorways and all the rest of it, and making long phone calls and whatever. And so I gradually went away. It was, what's his name, Dave Cousins.
The Strobes.
Followed me. It was long drawn out. But I miss the people a lot.
Where was home
and
when
have
you were
done
here?
For years.
Whereabouts was home when you were here?
Yeah. First in Stockton, and then we bought a house in Yarm. That's an amazing price, £12,000. Buy a house for that now. We love the place. I mean, it's not somewhere you can easily dislike. It's got a lot of problems. Everybody will acknowledge that. And all the economic things that have gone on over the years, promises made, promises broken, all that sort of thing. But the people are lovely. You know, that's the only way you can put it. And when I hear the accent, and not a Tyneside accent,
well, yes,
a Tees accent, yeah, I just go, whoa, fabulous. And the humour, people can be exceedingly funny. And that's where the stuff that Les did and the others, it was accepted. People actually reacted to it very quickly. And there's this Brummy, and people said, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. And we did, and people loved it.
What do you think about coming back up? Because I know you've only been up a couple of times since you left, and you're sitting here now with me. What do you make of it? Did you get a warm glow as the train pulled into Darlington Station?
In one sense, yes. The next reaction was, am I on the train coming across to Middlesbrough? I don't know this place. It's changed. Come past the airport and it's nothing like it used to be. And various other places. Houses have been built, things have been knocked down. So that's a bit of a shock. There is a certain feeling, if I can say it, of unfinished. And there's a job still to be done on Teesside that makes Teesside really what it can be. Funny way of looking at it, maybe, but don't knock it. Never, ever knock it. Say things are wrong, we must put them right. But don't say it's a dump, because it isn't.
And if you look at your 5 years, what is the highlight? What is the standout moment? Would it be starting the radio station? Would it be something that happened later on? Would it be just a silly little thing that happened? And you thought, if I go now, that's okay.
That's a very, very difficult, very difficult question.
I left it till last.
If you wanted a really high point, and that I was very, very proud of, was the programme we made overnight on the death of Presley. And it was just the way that we all pulled together from a phone call. Alistair Perry was just brilliant. And we pulled out a program. It was us, Alistair, who told
Cliff Richard,
thank you, live on air. And the reactions that we got, and we got people phoning from all around the world and all the rest of it, and of course the program went around the whole country. It was brilliant. And it was just people being professional. And it was brilliant.
It's good to see you. We're really out of time now. Thanks for coming up. I mean, we thought about doing something on this on the air here at BBC Tees. Like I say, that's where I started my career. I will always have fond memories of it, but the people who went before, the people who started it up, deserve some sort of recognition, I think, because it was such a new thing that had happened to the area. And everybody you talk to listens to the radio. Mm. At some point, they will have listened to the radio. So that was our justification for doing it. Your final bit of music is one that people may know if they used to listen very late at night or very early in the morning. Why have you picked this song by, or piece of music by Eric Gale?
We were deciding in the little house we'd bought, how do we start this radio station? What do? Do you sort of say, hello, or something?
We're here.
Yeah, and to be honest, the Radio 1 had adopted a tune which I thought was fantastic, and they hardly ever used. And I thought, no, because we were only 18-hour programmes at that time. So every morning you've got to start, and every night you've got to close down. And I was just listening to a few albums and all the rest of it, and I thought, I think I can do that. I think I can do something with it, because it was edited at the front. And Les was living with us at the time, whilst he found somewhere to live. And I said, Les, what do you think about this? He said, oh, it's all right. Yeah, we'll do that. And that's it. And that piece of music is just something else. I don't know what it is, but it's Tees.